appreciate your presence tonight. Again, we have a good number out, and we're happy that we're all able to be here, or have a nice, comfortable place to meet and to worship God. We miss those who are away. I think Scott may be away preaching this evening, and it's good to see Brother Ron with us tonight. But it's good that we can sing these songs and pray and study and meditate upon God's Word. Our subject tonight is your heart right with God? We need to ask ourselves that question. Is my heart right with God? Am I being a faithful, sincere Christian? Our text is found in Acts 8th chapter, verse 18, beginning. It says, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. And so we see here that Simon, his heart was not right with God. This lesson is designed to bring greater spirituality and closeness to God. Yes, we should have a sincere desire to please God. It is designed to help build and increase personal happiness because of our relation to God. If our heart is right with God, then we're going to be happy serving God. The child of God cannot be happy if his heart is not right with God. James 4 and verse 8, James says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so every day we need to draw near to God. Near to God, help me to be. Yes, he says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. We notice lessons from the account of Simon the sorcerer. We need to be on guard against old weaknesses. Satan will work on our weak points. He knows our weaknesses, and that's where he's going to tempt us. Exactly what he did to Simon, who had been called a sorcerer. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And so he is walking about seeking to devour and destroy us. And he's going to tempt us in our weakest points. Simon was regarded as someone great. The people looked up to Simon before he became a Christian. In Acts 8, verse 9 and 10, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And so the people looked up to Simon. He was considered a great man, a great person. And he said that they were saying that this man is the great power of God. But after his baptism, he still wanted to be considered as someone great. He wanted to buy the power to impart the Holy Spirit. He saw what the apostles were doing, and he wanted this power also. In Acts 8, 18 and 19, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And so he saw what the apostles were doing, and he wanted this power, and he tried to buy it with money. We need to avoid an evil heart. Simon's heart was not right with God. His thinking, his thought was all wrong. In Acts 8 and verse 20, Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." And so we cannot purchase the power of God and the things of God with money. He had literally sinned by thinking wrong. He had not acted as yet. Simply thinking wrong can be sinful, evil. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." And so here it talks that man's heart can be deceitful, and it can be wicked. The Lord searches the heart. He looks upon our hearts, and he knows the kind of person that we are. Yes, avoid the impenitent heart. That is, when we sin, we must admit it, and we must repent of those sins. Simon did appear to have a penitent heart. He was willing to repent. In Acts 8 and 24, "And Simon said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And so Simon asked Peter to pray for him. Yes, he was repenting. He wanted God to forgive him. Some people will never repent, and they have a hard heart, and they're not willing to repent of their sins. In Romans 2 and verse 5, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." And so sometimes people have a hard heart and not willing to repent of their sins, and they'll receive the wrath of God. Harden not your hearts. This is repeated three times in Hebrews. In Hebrews 3 and verse 8, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness." Yes, the children of Israel hardened their hearts. In Hebrews 3 and 15, "While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." And so we need to hear what God has to say and be willing to accept it and not harden our hearts. In Hebrews 4 and verse 7, "Again he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, Today after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And so let's have a tender heart and not have a hard heart. Maintain a heart suitable for correction. Be willing to accept correction when we're wrong. Christianity is a religion of the heart. A good heart is vitally important and essential in pleasing God. We must have a good and honest heart. Be sincere in living the Christian life. In Luke 8 and verse 15, Jesus taught the parable of the sower. "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." And so those who have a good and honest heart, they hear the word and they follow and they keep the word of God. God purifies our hearts through his word. In John 15 and 3, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." When we accept the word and we follow the teachings of Christ, then this cleanses us. Yes, after we are children of God. Simon was told to repent and pray for forgiveness. Peter said, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." This is our means for keeping our hearts pure. by repenting and praying and asking God's forgiveness. Is your heart right with God? Do you have an evil heart? Many people do. An evil heart can spring up at any time. In Hebrews 3 and verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful, and if we're not careful, we'll be deceived by it and allow our hearts to be hardened. Bitterness can spring up in families, in churches, where there was once love. God doesn't want us to be bitter toward one another, but to love one another. In Hebrews 12 and verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And so let's not have any bitterness and hard feelings toward one another. If you should die today, would you be saved? Do you have a good heart? Is your heart right with God? Here are some of the answers if you ask someone, if you died today, would you be saved and go to heaven? Some would say, well, no, I'm not a Christian. Some would say, I don't know, or I hope so. Or some might say, yes. What can we say if someone asks us if we're saved, if we are a Christian, if we're going to heaven? How would you answer? We need to take an inventory of ourselves, examine our own hearts. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And so every day we need to examine ourselves and our hearts. Are we pleasing to God, or is our heart right with God? The Lord knows all. Many think that darkness hides their sins. Yes, sometimes members of the church will sneak around and do things that are sinful, and they think they have it covered up. But God knows their hearts. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4, beginning, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And so we're to be sober, to be awake, and to be aware of what's going on around us. And usually those who are in sin, they like to do it in the night, in the darkness, not in the day. Remember, God knows everything. He knows our thoughts, every thought. In Psalm 44, verse 20 and 21, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. He knows the secrets of our heart. He knows what we're doing and how we're living. One can be self-condemned. Our hearts will condemn us when we do things we know that are wrong. In 1 John 3, 19 and 20, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Yes, sometimes our heart may condemn us. But if we're sinning, then we need to repent and pray to God that he'll forgive us. One can have a clear conscience and still be wrong, but one can't have an evil conscience and still be right with God. God would never save us in spite of our evil conscience. Thus, the importance of keeping our hearts right with God. Yes, it's very important. We must make corrections when needed. Our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience. In Hebrews 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And so let's have a true heart and a faith that pleases God. The Christian is blessed with the opportunity to obtain forgiveness at all times. Yes, we should be thankful that God is good, that He loves us, and that He's willing to forgive us when we repent. We all must maintain pure hearts. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. A pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. 2 Timothy 2 and 22, he says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so let's keep our hearts pure. Let's be a good example before others. Matthew 5 and verse 8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If we have a pure heart, a good and honest heart, then God will bless us in this life and in the world to come. When is one's heart not right? Do you find services boring? You know, if I'm bored when I'm studying God's word, if I'm singing or a prayer, then my heart is not right with God. Some slip in late or they slip out early. Yes, we need to be prompt to worship God. Put God first in our life. Do you enjoy singing spiritual songs, praying, worshiping God? Well, if our heart is right and we love God, then we enjoy these things. Like David in Psalms 122 and verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Yes, we should enjoy our worship to God, singing, praying, studying God's word. Years ago, I knew a member, a sister, and the only time she attended services, they'd have the Lord's Supper about 11 o'clock, where she'd come in about 11 and take the Lord's Supper and then leave. Well, she was deceiving herself. The Lord's Supper is important, but also the other parts of worship are important. We can't just do the one. Do you find true joy in Bible study, reading, studying, meditating upon God's word? In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, do we enjoy reading and studying the scriptures, the word of God? If we love God and his word, we enjoy hearing the good news. It's like getting involved in a hobby. The more we involve ourselves, the more we enjoy it. The more we involve ourselves in reading, studying, and hearing God's word, the more we enjoy it. The more we enjoy it, the more knowledgeable and skilled we become in it. Do you enjoy the company of brethren? Would you rather attend a gospel meeting or service to worship God, or would you rather go to